what I've decided to do on Wednesdays now is to go through Jiva Dharma, which is one of my favorite books. We can probably announce, next Wednesday, I'll have to check whether I'm traveling or not to New Zealand, and Ruti will send out a message whether there's class or not. But we'll kind of officially kind of announce that. So we'll start with Chapter 1. And I was looking for something that I could really be excited about, because the Jiva Dharma, which is a novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Anyway, I'll explain it when we begin. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sri Vrindavan, Dham. I think I have, let's see, today's the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th. Yeah, I have less than a week left here. As I've mentioned before, it's been quite a busy time. Somehow or other, as Bhakti and Kirtan becomes popular, even if people don't always have the proper conceptions of it, it inevitably gets connected to Vrindavan, because in Bhakti and Kirtan, Krishna is so prominent, and devotees of Krishna are so prominent, and it's just leading more and more people to come to Vrindavan. So we'll read from Chapter 1, and the title of Chapter 1 is The Eternal and Temporary Dharmas of the Jiva. So let me just say a little bit about this book. You know, it's recounted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's in a novel form. And the brilliance of the book, and you all know the brilliance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is that the setting of the book is a place called Pradyumna Kunj. And there's a Paramahamsa Babaji. He'll be known as Prem Das or Paramahamsa Babaji. And he apparently lives just a generation after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's a siksha disciple of one of Lord Chaitanya's closest associates named Pradyumna Brahmachari. So that's his siksha guru. And this Paramahamsa Babaji, or this Prem Das Babaji, he's living in a little hut in a very kind of dense foliage. And he's constantly immersed in the ecstasy of bhajan. It appears that he's a Goshtananandi, and then there's a Bhajananandi. No, there's a Bhajananandi. He's a Bhajananandi.
you take pleasure in your bhajan, and goshtana nandi means you take pleasure in spreading. Goshta means in assemblies. Somehow or other, that's his. And the place is presumed the Kunj. It's in a place called Godrumdweep, which is situated on the eastern bank of the Ganga, the Bhagirathi River. Where if you stay in Mayapur, it's right across the river from Mayapur. It's where Bhaktivinoda Thakur had his house. And it's the island of Kirtan. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes at the very beginning of the book, how he introduces it, you know, he puts it in context that Godrum is in Navadvip Mandal. Navadvip means nine islands. It's one of the islands. And it's within the greater area of Gaurabhumi. Gaurabhumi is the greater area of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, and that's within Bharat Varsha, the earth planet. And the earth planet is in Jambudweep, which is a larger island. The middle planetary system, which is shaped like a lotus, which is known Bhumandal. Bhumandal has seven islands, and they extend outwards in concentric circles like a whirlwind. So he brings this down, we're there with this Prem Das Babaji in this Kund, and he's very, very learned, and he's there. Taking shelter of Godrumdweep with a single-minded conviction of realizing and perfecting his eternal relationship with Krishna. Realizing his eternal relationship with Krishna. And and daily he's chanting 2 lakhs of names. That's 128 rounds. There are people in Raja who've done that and do that. They have a taste for the holy name. They live their lives to cultivate that kind of mood, and it's facilitated here. It's quite feasible. And he offers 100 obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. And he maintains his existence by accepting alms from the houses of cowherd men. The Godrumdweep is a place where, in Gaur Lila, where Lord Chaitanya worshipped, it's a whole story, but worshipped the Sarabhyak, the original divine cow, in a place there. So it's very much a place of cowherd men. And he understands that this is none different than Nandagram, where Krishna grew up and raised the cows. And he would chant, and when he found a spare moment, he spent his time, not in idle gossip, which we would be pajopa, which ruins bhakti, but in reading the book of Jagadananda, a confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya, very confidential, who was Satyabhama in Krishna Lila, one of the left-wing queens, the kind of that type of love. A little contrary, and he's a confidential associate of Chaitanya. He loves him so much. So he's reading that book. And generally, people advanced in bhajan, they may just chant and then kind of read when they need some inspiration of remembrance. At such times, you know, when he would begin to read, then the different Vaishnavas gathered and listened to great devotion as he read with such tears in his eyes. And Bhaktivinoda says, well, why wouldn't they hear? Because this Prema Vavart has all the conclusions of rasa, of the intense, perfect, overwhelming experience of devotion for Krishna. And not only that, this Babaji Maharaj, his voice was so sweet, resonant, filled with the so it was like a inundated by waves. And when they just heard his voice, the venomous fire of sensuality in their hearts became extinguished. So as the story goes, he's completing his chanting and he's sitting and he's reading this Prema Bhavart and like a forest bower, and he's immersed in these transcendental emotions. And then a sannyasi comes and falls at his feet and very really stays prostrate in obeisance for like a considerable time. Of course, the Babaji Maharaj, Premdas Paramhamsa Babaji, he's absorbed in a very high state of ecstasy, and he's not so aware of the externals. That's the nature of samadhi. But after a while, returning to his external consciousness, he sees this sannyasi lying before him. And because of the degree of prema in his heart, which creates such an intense desire for love of Godhead, that you, even though you kind of have it, because it creates such an intense desire for love of Godhead, you feel like you don't even have a drop. And it makes you humble. Also, you feel the mood of separation, which makes you feel kind of worthless. You know, you should be with Krishna, you're not with Krishna. And it makes one feel, and that's why the raha bhav, the anguish of separation, which is almost paradoxically the greatest exit, it's only found in Braj, because that degree of separation can only happen. The intensity of that separation, which is the excellence of Raha Bhav, can only really manifest to its fullest when there's deep, intimate love, and that's Vrindavan. Outside of Vrindavan, there's pure love, but that mixed with obligation and duty, and sometimes a little fear, because you're dealing with the superior. We mentioned this many times. But it invokes a really, really extreme degree of humility called dainya. And that level of humility is not found anyplace else. Because the feelings of intimacy and the consequent feelings of separation are not felt anyplace else. So therefore, this Babaji falls in front of the sannyasi and he begins to weep and he exclaims, O Chaitanya, O Nityananda, please be merciful upon this fallen wretch. And then Sannyas Thakur responds, I am extremely vile and destitute. Why do you mock me like this? So this is the nature of advanced souls. Either by true jnana or true bhakti,
either you feel very insignificant, and therefore you understand you're very significant, or you understand you're very significant, and you feel you're insignificant. But either true Gyan or true Bhakti, well, of course, this Sannyasa Thakur is going to tell his story. And this is the beauty of this book. The beauty of this book is that it's the history or story of various persons coming to Krishna consciousness. Now, here's a person who is completely had renounced the world and achieved very, very high levels of realization in Gyan. And then there'll be materialists coming. And then there'll be scientists coming. And then there'll be just ordinary people in the world that are curious and come. And in this way, as each person comes and exchanges with Prem Das Babaji, all the various tattvas or categories of philosophical truths within Krishna consciousness are so brilliantly discussed. And then, I mean, it's very wonderful. And then from Nam Tattva to Shakti Tattva to the Jiva Tattva to all the tattvas normally get to scale. And then what happens is two of the people coming, of course, this sannyas is very serious, and he comes. But two of them coming, it chronicles their whole coming to Krishna consciousness, how their doubts are cleared, and how finally they inquire about bhakti. And then within the Jiva Dharma is a summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjwala Nilamani. It's a beautiful way to make a summary. He's just answering their questions, and it categorically covers all the subjects in Bhakti. When I wrote Waves of Devotion, I used this because it has a very brilliant summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, the sannyasi will find out why his position is so humble, even though was a Mayavadi. He takes the dust of Babaji Mahasai, Babaji Paramahamsa, upon his head, and then he sat before him. And of course, there's culture here. You know, in Vaishnavism, you recognize or respect people on different dimensions. One is Swajitiya, those who are very intimate and close in devotion, and Bhadabharaloka, those who are big people. So they're trained so much they respect the culture. So even if it's a Mayavadi sannyasi, he's respecting the person who has renounced the world. And the sannyasi is approaching him from the standpoint of Vaishnav culture. It's interesting. Sannyasi is approaching the Vaishnav in terms of Vaishnav culture, in terms of who is the most advanced. And the Babaji, he's going to respond to him in terms of Vanashram and feel it, because they feel that anyone who is in a position of authority is representing God, and one should worship them as God. Atithi Bhagavan, even the guest is. So Babaji Maharaj offered him a seat of banana bark tree, and sitting beside him spoke in a voice choked with love. So he's greeting his guest. Prabhu, what service may this worthless person offer you? And then the sannyasi, he just puts aside his begging bowl and folds his hands, and then he speaks. And he begins to explain his story of how he comes to Krishna consciousness. O Master, I am most unfortunate. I spend my time in Kasi and other holy places debating, the analytical conclusions of the religious texts, such as Sankhya, Patanjala, Nyaya, Visheshika, Purvamamsa, and Uttamamsa, and exhaustively studying the Upanishads and other Vedic Shastras. About 12 years ago, I accepted the renounced order from Sri Satchinandana Saraswati. Having accepted the staff, the renounced order, I traveled to all the holy places, and wherever I went in India, I kept the company of sannyasis who adhere to the doctrines of Sri Shankara. In due course of time, I passed beyond the first three stages of the renounced order, Kutichak, Bahutak, and Hamsa, and attained the highest status of Paramahamsa, which I remained for some time. In Varanasi, I adopted a vow of silence and abided by those statements that Sri Shankaracharya proclaimed to be the Mahavakya of the Vedas. That means the chief axioms, such as Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahma, Tattvamasi. However, happiness and spiritual satisfaction that I was supposed to find did not come to me. One day I saw a Vaishnav sadhu loudly singing about the pastimes of Sri Hari. I opened my eyes and saw that he was bathed in streams of tears. And in his ecstatic rapture, the hairs on his body were standing on end. He was chanting the name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, in a choked up voice. And as he danced, his feet slipped, so he fell on the ground again and again. When I saw him and heard his song, my heart filled with an indescribable ecstasy. Although that mystical experience was so overwhelming, in order to protect my status as a Paramahamsa, I did not speak with him at all. Alas, fire my rank and status. Cursed be my destiny. I don't know why, but since that day, my heart has become attracted to Sri Krishna Chaitanya's lotus feet. Shortly thereafter, I became obsessed with the desire to find that Vaishnav sadhu, but I could not find him anywhere. Never before had I experienced anything like the untainted bliss that I felt when I saw him and heard the holy name emanating from his mouth. After considerable thought, I concluded that the highest benefit for me would be to take shelter of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. I left Kashi and went to the beautiful holy land of Sri Vrindavan. There I saw many Vaishnavas uttering the names of Sri Rupa, Sanatan, and Jiva Goswami in a mood of great lamentation. One second. Be right there in a second. There are so many Vaishnavas uttering the names of Sri Rupa, Sanatan, and Jiva in a mood of great lamentation. They were absorbed in meditation on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and they rolled on the ground and chanted the names of Sri Navadvipa. When I saw and heard this, a greed arose within me to behold the beautiful holy Dham of Navadvipa. I circumambulated the 186 miles of Sri Vrindavan Dham and came to Sri Mayapur just a few days ago. I heard of your glories in the town of Mayapur. So I've come today to take shelter of your lotus feet. Please fulfill my life's aspiration by making this servant an object of your mercy. So it's interesting. This is he's coming to Krishna consciousness. Bahunam Janmanante Yanavam Mampapadyate Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatvasu. So after many, many births, Bahunam Jamanam Gyanavan, one who has Gyan. After many, many births, this is the best person who can come, one who's a Gyani. Because he's already detached from the body, so he can more or less start at the platform of love. So he's coming at a very elevated state. But somehow or other, Gyan can't completely satisfy you because it's a negation of miseries, but it's not a full manifestation of pleasure or satisfaction within the heart. And somehow or other, whatever his samskara was, when somehow or other he met the Vaishnava and came in contact with that degree of love. And it says that when you come in contact with the Mahabhagavat, when you come in contact with the Mahabhagavat, then there's influence, whether you know or not the power of the person, if you're humble. So somehow he met a Mahabhagavat, and it affected him. And he's very advanced, because there's four stages of sannyats. You first kind of, sannyas really means is that you give up your, you depend on Krishna, you give up your material protective agents so that you can actually see how you're not actually the maintainer, but it's actually God. That the endeavor is, there's five factors of action, only one is in the endeavor. But somehow or other, we make effort and things come by our karma, and we think it's only our effort and not our karma. But even without the effort, the maintenance comes. So in days of yore, I mean in a spiritual culture that had this kind of, you know, known objective to realize the self, it was so prominent in the society because the renunciates and the Brahmins who were most evolved were revered. And there was always, you know, the tradition, the families understood this. And the knowledge was freely available. So people who were somewhat evolved, it was relatively easy for them to understand this. And therefore, they would enter into family life and satisfy their desires so that they can renounce them. And by appropriately satisfying your desires, then you can renounce them. If you satisfy them in a religious or regulated way, you satisfy them in a way that you realize they don't satisfy you. And it makes you take to something higher. So here he went through the Bahudak. Bahudak means that he leaves his house and he lives simply on the edge of his village, but he still doesn't have complete dependence, faith
that Krishna is the maintainer. Of course, theoretically you may, but to actually be peaceful with that and act with Dharma, you go to the village, that's Bahuduk, they bring you food, and after a year or two, the family stops bringing you food, and then you got to go beg from house to house. Madhukari. And that's a very elevated way of eating. That's done, it's still done today in Vrindavan, and by some acharyas. In some traditions, that's what they do. They can't go and just order fries and a veggie burger. You just have to walk around and beg. A friend of mine here, Sadhu Maharaj, great, elevated soul, wonderful devotee. He's the son of a king, so he's a king. And his father, actually I think it was his grandfather, you know, he was the king. He had so much opulence. I always like to go to his temple and see the picture of his father before parliament in perfect Gaudiya Vaishnav tilak. Before his Rolls Royce that was had gold and silver relief. But when he come to Vrindavan, he would go barefoot and do Madhukari. And then the next stage, here it says Hamsa, sometimes called Parivrajakacharya. Now you have to wander. Because anytime you stay in one place, you start subtly to see where your pleasures and comforts are. You gravitate towards that and develop the consciousness that you're in control of your environment. So you leave the environment and you go to different places and whatever God gives you, and then you find your protection, you find your food, and you develop a great love for God because you directly see how everything is God's mercy. And this is a fact, it's just something we have to realize in any situation, that really a fact. Everything is God's mercy. But somehow or other, he's maintaining us. We worry, we worry, we worry, we worry, we worry. But somehow, in such a large congregation of devotees, everyone always has shelter, everyone always has food. So, and then he was in Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa is, you just sit in one place. Sometimes like the python, he just stays on a tree and just is completely confident that God will protect. So lo and behold, every month, some animal somehow passes by the tree. The python falls down, strangles it, swallows it, and goes back up in the tree. So in that kind of faith, though he was actually in a very elevated state. But somehow or other, he's experienced bhakti, and his faith is in that. I give the example of my dear cousin, Maseva Bharati, who lived in the Himalayas and was quite an accomplished meditator and a very, very detached person. I brought it to Vrindavan. I brought it to Vrindavan, and took care of her. And then in Vrindavan, she kept on telling me, "What is this sweetness? What is this sweetness? I keep on tasting this sweetness. What is this sweetness?" Because it's not there in our tradition. There's some kind of pleasure, but the sweetness of that pleasure is not there. Because it's Madhurya. It's that love of Radha, love of Krishna. And then she went to Govardhan, to the Govardhan retreat, and I put her up there, and she she said, you know, the sweetness is increasing. The sweetness, there's more sweetness. She was sensing it. And then she was so overwhelmed with the association that she looked at me and she said, 31 years, daughter of Milton and Edna Hecht. 31 years, Maseva Bharati, disciple of Swami Rama. And she was implying, and now, what's the next 31 years? She's feeling that. So I've seen it personally with my own cousin. How you can be practicing and achieve something, and but when somehow or other that type of person who somehow is not antagonistic like Mayavadis who somehow or other have that feeling. It works. Paramahamsa Babaji took a blade of grass between his teeth, weeping. He said, O Sannyas Thakur, I am absolutely worthless. I've usually spent my life filling my belly, sleeping, and engaging in futile talks. It is true that I've taken up the residence in this sacred place. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enacted his pastime, but as the days fly by, I find myself unable to taste this thing known as Krishna Prem. You are so fortunate, for you have tasted that divine love merely by seeing the Vaishnava for a moment. You have received the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I will be very grateful if you will kindly remember this fallen wretch for a moment when you are tasting that prem. Then my life will become successful. And after he said this, Babaji Maharaj embraced the sannyasi and he was crying and his tears were bathing him. And then this sannyas Thakur, when he touched the limbs of the Vaishnava, he began to experience unprecedented bliss. He was dancing and wept, and then he began to sing, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sri Prabhu Nityananda, Jaya Prem Das Guru, Jaya Bhajananan. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. All glories to my divine master, Prem Das and the bliss of Bhaja. Excuse me, I have a sneezing attack. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. 1 second. Let's just bring. So then they did kirtan together. And then they spoke together many topics. And then Prem Das asked him to please stay with him at least for a few days. And the sannyas was saying, no, I've offered my body at your feet. Why only a day? I want to serve you until I give up my body. And the sannyas Thakur, he was a very, very erudite scholar, so he knew that if you stay in the residence of the guru, you'll naturally receive the guru's instructions. So he took up residence with great delight.
Now,
so very nice. We stay in the home of the Vaishnav to receive their instructions. That's really, you can think of a, so if you can think of a Vaishnav, that's really the reason. You may get some instruction. Wow. The jewel of an instruction of what you can do to serve and how you can advance, basically how you can become satisfied and happy and be free from any illusions you have. So what happens is so he then, what he does is he takes him to his own guru. He said, we'll collect arms and let's take darshan. He said, yes, whatever your instructions are. So they cross a river, they another river, and they take darshan of this Pradyumna Brahmachari who was in this temple of Srinashringadev. So when he sees his guru, this Babaji Maharaj offers his prostrated obeisances, and then Pradyumna comes out, and his heart is melting with affection for his disciple, of course, because it's a real disciple. And therefore he's really surrendered, he's really surrendered fully. And he's given his heart, and that melts anyone's heart. When someone gives you your heart melts. So he lifts this, Pradyumna, he lifts his disciple, Babaji Maharaj, with both hands and embraces him and asks about his welfare. And then they discuss topics about spiritual practice for some time. And that's the real joy. If you meet a great Vaishnava, you can discuss your spiritual practices. Brahmachari Thakur, that's the guru, Pradyumna, he says, see, Paramahamsa Babaji, or Premdas Babaji, they introduces Sannyas Thakur to his own guru. And his own guru said to him, you have attained a most qualified guru, and you should study the book Prema Vivarta under this his directions. So it's very interesting because it's actually a reference that with permission one can take disciples in the presence of his own guru. So what's going to happen is this is great for Sannyas Thakur because he gets to see the reciprocal behavior between Vaishnavas. And he even sees the humility of Pradyumna. He tells it to take shelter of his own disciple, Paramahamsa Babaji, and that he's conversing with the truth, and he can become guru. He even quotes Kiva Visa, Kiva Nasa, Kena Sudra Hoye, Krishna knows that tattva, he's guru. And Sannyas Thakur was so overwhelmed because now this is his Param Guru. He says, you're an associate of Chaitanya. You can purify 100 arrogant sannyasis like me. Give me your glance. And then he observed this reciprocal dealings. He observed the sadachar, the etiquette between the guru that he should follow, because he saw how his guru treated his guru. And from that day on, he behaved in exactly the same way, without duplicity. And that's actually the key. Honesty. So So what we're going to read on, this is just the beginning of it. And now, what's going to happen is Sannyasa Thakur is going to raise a question. And this is going to, this is actually the essence of Jiva Dharma, because Jiva means the Dharma. And we'll get to that the next class. But the question was, is that, you know, he heard how important Dharma was. And he asked, what is Dharma to so many people? And he was so distressed that different people would give different answers. So he wanted to know, what is the Dharma of the Jiva? And why did different teachers explain that nature in different ways? If it's one, why don't all teachers cultivate the same thing? And then it's just such a beautiful philosophical discussion, is why I want to discuss this book with you. Because this is one of my main preachings is actually from this book about the nature of Dharma. So we'll discuss that next. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna.
Anybody like to say hello? Okay, Gail?
Yeah, I am. This is the most excited I've been about your sanghas. I'm so happy that you're doing this book. Thank you for this. It was a great surprise.
Well, you know, Gail, I'm trying to figure out why I've never done this book before. Or maybe, did I do it before? I thought maybe I did it.
No. No way.
No, I never did it. I'm so excited myself. I was so, I'm so excited myself because I need to be excited myself, you know?
Yeah.
So
this is the first
really
time I'm excited.
Excited
for this Sangha. I really am so happy you chose this book.
Okay.
I do have one one quick question. You know, before Prem Das even knew anything about Sannyasa Thakur, you know, when Sannyasa Thakur first showed up on his doorstep, he greeted him, you said, choked with love. So why choked with love when he didn't even know him?
Let me find that part when he comes.
The very beginning.
I'm finding it. I'm not finding where it says choke. It doesn't say choke with love. What it says is he was in ecstasy in his meditation. Then he sees the sannyasi. And then he's considering himself to be insignificant. He's crying and he said, please be merciful to me. That's all he says. Be merciful upon this fallen wretch. That's what he says.
And he's saying, be merciful to him. Why is he saying like that?
Because he's very humble and he sees a sannyasi.
Oh, even though he's Mayavadi sannyasi.
Yeah. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from the impersonalist line. He took Ekdanda. They respect the renunciation. And I guess it wasn't Mayavadi. Maybe it's impersonalist or something.
And also, you know, right at the end of your lecture, you said the key is what to follow your guru without duplicity.
Yeah.
I mean, can you just expand on that a little bit?
Honesty. I'm honest in two ways. One, you're honest to what your commitments are. And second, you're honest when you can't make them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like confessional, too. But just honesty. You truly follow what the principles of your path are.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Gail, I'm also very excited about this. I thought I had done it once before and it didn't work. I didn't know why that was in my mind. But it's a great book. It's one of my favorite. And exactly, even some new people that come, I give them the book if they're intellectually inclined. Okay, mm-hmm. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bajrade.
Okay, Bajrade, good. That I'm sure you'll enjoy this book too.
Maharaj, actually, I was thinking of reading this book, and I'm so happy that you started.
Okay. Good. We'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello? There may not be class next week. I got to check my schedule. I'll let you know. Okay. Once you call for two, you suck at the end of the day, which I'm putting up.